If you have your Bibles tonight, John chapter 1, in the great Word of God. Don't mess it up. This is one of those things that's so easy a child can figure it out. Don't mess it up. The Gospel of John chapter 1. Glory to God. Just put my note where I need to put it. Here we go. Excuse me. I'm going to turn there again myself. Glory to God. So I want to look at it. Many of you could probably quote this as well, but I like just looking at it. I just like looking at the Word of God. I like shutting off those devices and looking at an old book, ink and pen, ink and pages and leather, and just hold it and praise God. Not worshiping the book, but just kind of, you know, go back to old school. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John later said in the first chapter of 1 John that this Word was manifested unto us. We handled it. We walked with it. He's saying Jesus is God. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the beginning was the Word. It was with God, was God. John chapter 4, verse 24. Turn a couple pages here. We're going to read verse 24. Jesus is talking to a woman who has been married five times, and she's living with somebody that's not her husband. Didn't like it when Jesus told her that. Just like sometimes we don't like it when God tells us some stuff. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. One more verse, Romans 8 and verse 14. When you have it, say amen. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. One more time, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You may be seated. We've read to you three verses of Scripture just to start here tonight. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. And then in Romans 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Word is God, and God's a spirit. We know that He's one spirit. He's not three. And if we're led by that spirit, which is the Word of God, we are the sons of God. There's another passage I'm going to read to you in just a moment, and I'll give you a title to consider here tonight. Just don't take the title wrong, because it's meant to be right. Just hear it when I say it. We have a God that wants us to make it. And it'll be truth that helps us make it. It'll be truth, not only God being a God of truth and the Spirit of truth, but it'll be truth that gets deep down inside our inward parts. It is when we become truth, when we become people of truth. And we can't become people of truth if we don't allow God, who is a spirit, to get in us. And if we can't be led by that spirit of truth. We can believe anything we want to believe about God. We can have a religion. We can have a church. We can go somewhere every Sunday. We can be faithful. We can pay tithes. and do all the stuff we feel we know to do, but if we're not being led of the Spirit of God, we're not the sons and daughters of God. We're not the people of God if we don't have God. God will never contradict what he is, and he is the Word. If the Word of God ever comes across to teach you, to instruct you, to guide you, to help you, and you have different feelings about what you've heard, and you say, well, I've heard from God, now I know God said something different to me, you may want to check that out and make sure you're listening to the right God. As Pastor used to say, it might be this lowercase G-O-D, not the uppercase G-O-D. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. But these are our fundamental truths that are there to help us understand some things about living for God. It's not just about being indoctrinated and being taught. It's about what you're learning, what you're hearing, what you're being taught. It's about living by it. There was a man once that told Pastor he had grabbed a scripture out of Romans chapter 14, and Pastor was instructing him concerning a particular matter and warning him, and I remember the many messages and other places where we were at the time where he was reaching for him and trying to hand truth across the pulpit, and instead he went and found a scripture and said, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Use the scripture to say, I'm persuaded that even though you're saying don't go, I'm going, I can hear from God too. It don't work that way. Praise God. He is the Word of God. And you don't use the Word of God to tell God you don't have to obey God. And when God has given you a leadership, and that leadership is praying and seeking after God and been appointed by God to watch for your soul, and that shepherd says, no, there's danger ahead. Please understand, it's not that the preacher's God, but on behalf of God, and on behalf of the fact that you have submitted yourself to an assembly where the truth is preached. You don't tell God, well, I got the Holy Ghost just like he's got. Or if you hear a word from the Lord that you do just the opposite, when that's happening in your life, there's something that you need to review. Praise God. And hopefully that's not happening here. If you hear the word of God, make sure your heart's right with God so you can hear it right. So I've read to you three verses of Scripture. They're fundamental. They may seem basic to some. You've read it over and over again, but there's so much truth to help you stay where you ought to stay and be who you ought to be for God. Amen. That God is the Word, and in that Word is life, and in that life is light. Praise God. And that this God is a Spirit, and if we're led by this Spirit, then we're the children of God. Praise God. Even if it goes against everything that I'm going through at the moment, if God's doing the leading, if you want to be his kid, do the following. Praise God. Even if he leads you away from everything that's going on between your two ears that's not right, that you think is right. And be willing to do things God's way. So many shipwrecks. And I'm not here to talk about shipwrecks tonight, and I don't have a negative message here tonight. There's just a beautiful message that I'm wanting to pass on to us so that we realize there's something God wants us to become. And if we can allow ourselves to become it without fighting God, praise God. Amen? I don't want to spend all my time fighting God. I just want to be led by God. I don't want to try to find scripture to prove that I don't have to listen to God. I remember moments where people told Pastor that I put my pants on one leg at a time just like you do. And one close to him said, I get the Holy Ghost just like you got. I read in the word of the Lord in Numbers where the congregation of Israel rose up against Moses and Aaron and they were like, who made you a prince over us? And God descended in that cloud upon that tabernacle, and he wasn't quite happy. And he told the children of Israel, after he had discomforted the camp, opened the earth and swallowed up families, all because of some stupid parent that didn't want to live for God, listen to God, rose up murmuring against the congregation of the Lord, whose spirit was not right. And yet there they, and this may be hard for some to understand, but God hates sin. Anyways, let me skip some of those details for a moment and to say, God said to the tribes, every one of you get a rod, and Aaron will get one too. Write your name on it, the name of one of every tribe. And they put it in the tabernacle, and the Lord said, the one I choose, he'll be the one that I stand with. And Aaron's rod budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. And God let the congregation know who he stood with. It's important to do things God's way, isn't it? Because God doesn't change. Amen. He doesn't change. If you want him to change, he doesn't change. We're always blessed if we do things God's way. 1 John 4, before I say it five more times and never read it. Let's read verse 1, beginning of verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Remember, this one God that we're talking about, this God who is the Word, this God who is a Spirit. Not your version of God, not my version of God. God who is who he is. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And the simple message that I want you to consider tonight, and hear it in the right way, it's not meant in the wrong tone, but keep your spirit right. Now I can say that in a soft tone, and then I can also say, keep your spirit right. You might feel differently about what I'm about to say. But I'm not here to say it that way. I'm just here to say, considering your own soul, every one of us has a spirit. Keep your spirit right. Hallelujah. So here's the truth part. He told the woman that the Father seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth, right? God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's another passage we'll probably read here in just a minute from Hebrews 12. But we cannot worship God. Listen very carefully so that you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, he was testifying about a new birth experience that was on the horizon, and that new birth experience would cause us to be able to worship God the way God wanted us to worship him, and that we cannot worship him any other way. That's why I said at the beginning, you can have a church to go through, you can believe stuff about God, you can have all sorts of traditions that you keep, but if your spirit has not been made new, if your old nature is still alive, then you are not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Amen. And that's hard for some people to understand, because it's almost like saying, are you saying I'm not a Christian? And in a way I'm saying, yes, I'm saying you're not a Christian yet. We don't worship God the way we want to worship God. We don't follow God the way we want to follow God. As I made reference to that one brother years and years ago, been over 30 years now. What a waste. What a waste. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own. And what he was saying was, I'm persuaded that I want to do this no matter what you say. And he proved that his spirit was not of God. It had become something different. You see, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, this is something the enemy works with, and this is something that human nature struggles with if it chooses to struggle. But see, I don't want to get on all that. I'm just saying it can happen when people's eyes get turned aside. But if you want to live for God, you've got to want to live for God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. Praise God. Love him with everything. Amen. And when you and I love him with everything, there won't be one thing in the Word of God that we'll want to quarrel with, that we'll struggle with. If God says stop and then start, we stop and then we start. If God says change this, we change it. Praise God. If he says stop that, we stop that because we want to. Because we want to keep his commandments, and the commandments of the Lord are not impossible, and they're not a struggle to keep unless you're struggling. Hallelujah. The only reason why you struggle is because there's something that is alive trying to work in you that is not of God. And until you get rid of that, you'll never live for God. You can come to an apostolic church and be here till the day you die, but if your spirit is not of God, if you do not allow yourself to be changed, to be transformed, to be renewed, to be born again, praise God. You will never know the depth of those three verses that I've read to you tonight in the beginning. John 1:1, John 4:24, Romans 8:14. You will not know the pleasure of them. God wants you to worship him. It's not a mandate. People hear the truth wrong, and sometimes we present it wrong. The scripture says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And nowhere is this, you know, the terminology doesn't say, and you'll get the Holy Ghost, and you need to get the Holy Ghost. Look, the Holy Ghost is a gift that Jesus said, if you do this and this, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's not forget the Holy Ghost is a gift from God. It should be presented as a gift. It should be received as a gift. It should be viewed as a gift. Praise the Lord. And we got to stop with an attitude of trying to make everybody in the world see it the way we want them to see it. We are not the Word of God. We're not God. We're not God who's a spirit. Nobody's following us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, God will use us to lead and to influence people. But it's the Word of God. And God wants you to be saved. He wants you to hunger and thirst after him. He wants you to keep this thing simple. Hallelujah. And not complicate your walk with God. You don't have to force anybody to live for God. I don't care how much you know. And the more you know, the more you have to bite your tongue towards those who don't know or are struggling to know. Your job is to shut up and go pray a while. And pray for them. Because you struggled once like they're struggling. But you overcame the world. They need to learn how to overcome the world. You once didn't have the Holy Ghost. Now they need the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And we want to create an atmosphere where they get hungry for the Holy Ghost. That in the midst of worshiping and singing songs that we've sung here tonight, that all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will come. Because they're in an atmosphere where the Holy Ghost is flowing. And people who have the gift of God have their spirit that's right with God. And they're being led by God. And not something that's pretending to be God. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And sometimes, well, let me just say something here because I got my mind on some other stuff here. So let me just tone down to this verse. And we're not talking about devils. We're not talking about demons here. Believe not every spirit. They get involved. We're talking about your spirit, people's spirits. Let me read to you now Hebrews chapter 12. I believe it's in Hebrews 12. I want to read to you a verse of scripture just to put this in a little bit more context. When we are born again, we become new creatures. Right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So that's speaking about us. We become new. I'm able to worship God today. You are able to worship God. When you're in an atmosphere like this, and we talk about things that you don't maybe have, you haven't heard about in times past, where you're coming from, no matter whether it's been Catholicism, the Baptist movement, the Episcopalian, it doesn't matter. When you come to a place like this and you start hearing about the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, and you start learning about stuff that we talk about so freely because we've been living it. Many of us, the core group, we've been living this for decades. This is part of our nature. All these verses, we've been under hours and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of apostolic Pentecostal preaching. Right. And it's hard to fit all that in 5 minutes or even in 30 in a church service, and we're not trying to. Thank you, Lord. We just want you to know that you're in the presence of a gift, and we want to make sure that you give yourself a chance to hear and to listen and to learn and then hunger for it, even if you don't know a whole lot about it. God wants you to worship him in spirit and truth, and we cannot worship in spirit and in truth if our spirit is still sinful and old. The worship begins when we turn from our wicked ways and forsake our unrighteous thoughts. And we are buried with him by baptism into death. Praise God. Okay. I'll come back to that. Let's pray for Brother Roten right now. Double pneumonia. He's been through a lot. And we're just going to pray by the will of God that God will raise him up. Amen. Let's just pray right now that God will raise him up. Amen. Praise God. Jesus, we pray for Brother Roten right now that, Lord, you'll drive this pneumonia out of his body and give him strength, Lord. Give him health, Lord. Help him recover from this sickness and, God, all the other little issues. And give him some time, Lord, while he still remains upon this earth, God, to live and move and have his being and to enjoy that church out there, God, and his new living conditions and just adjust to a new time in his life. Give him strength, Lord, and raise him up according to your grace and your goodness and your power and your mercy. Let your loving kindness, Lord, shine upon him. And, Lord, slap, Lord, around every devil that wants to say it otherwise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be glorified. Hallelujah in his life. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. God's so good. God's so good. Let's read here, and I'll get back to what I was saying in a moment. Verse 22, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Then we'll go back to 1 John, and we're still early, so we're doing all right. Good. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. This is where we are right now. Wherever the assembly of the church meets, the building isn't Mount Zion. We are Mount Zion. The truth is Mount Zion. The apostolic church that Jesus founded, that is Mount Zion. Everything that's established in truth, no other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. All of that Mount Zion is the kingdom of God in the world today. The writer of Hebrews is saying this present day, right? And we're still reading it today. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. This is why I've made statements in time past. Pastors preached it forever and a day when he was alive, that the church is the heavenly Jerusalem. We're not waiting for heavenly Jerusalem to come someday. Praise God. We have entered into it, and it continues beyond this forever and ever. We are the city set on a hill. Even Paul, again, in Galatians chapter 4, said that which is from above, the Jerusalem from above, is free, the mother of us all. Hallelujah. And that's the church. We don't just have a guardian angel. We're in the presence of an innumerable. We can't count them. Praise God. The kingdom, and whenever we need ministering spirits, God will send them to us, whether we see one, three, or five. It doesn't matter. We're in the presence, the kingdom of God. When you start to understand what you have and where you are, some of you will pull your binkies out for the last time. And just start living for God and walking with God and knowing who you are and who God wants you to be.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to live for God. Praise God. I want to be, as Pastor sang, I want to be what my God wants me to be. And I don't want to spend my life fighting that. If there's something telling you there's something better, well, you're being deceived. You don't like what I said, too bad. I don't have time to play patty cake with you or anybody else. If you want God, God is saying, I want you. And I love you, and I want to save you. Don't fight the salvation of God. There's only one salvation. Only one way to be saved. There's not another way. There's only one gospel. And that's the hard reality when you come to a place like this. It's going to knock you right in between the eyes if you're hard-hearted. If you resist it. If you don't want to give in, you're going to struggle here. I'm telling you that right now. You'll have a problem. But oh, don't have a problem. You don't have to have a problem. You don't have to have a problem. You can have a pleasure, not a problem. Praise God. And you can come to church and worship freely because you just gave in to everything and everything God wants you to have and be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? All right, let me finish here. So you've come to Mount Zion, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And that's where I want to read to. And we'll go back to 1 John in a minute. See, we're talking about that. I'm just making a reference in another scripture, right? Remember, it's a big puzzle. That we're not talking about devils, trying devils. Devils can't confess that he is the Lord. They know he's the Lord, but their spirit won't confess. So it's talking about people in context of the first three chapters of 1 John, and then in what he continues to say in 1 John 4. But we have come to the spirits of just men made perfect. So the kingdom of God, remember, he also said in Corinthians, to the Corinthian church, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Remember what Jesus said in John 17, Father, that they may be one as we are. See, he went to Calvary because he wants you to be one with him. He wants to dwell in your soul. He wants to be one with you. And that's awesome, and that's powerful. Amen. He wants to drive sin out and all the devils out and all the influence of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and all that's of the world that's not pleasing to God. He wants to drive all of that out, and he wants to step in, and he wants to join himself one with you. That just blows my mind that the God of all grace, that the God who made the world by his own word wants to be one with you and made it possible through Calvary and the resurrection. He can actually be one with you. Hallelujah, that we now can say, I am in the Father and the Father's in me.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to fight that. I want to give in to that.
Amen.
Amen. I spent a month and a half here, amen, fighting and running from that. That was way too long. Hallelujah. Amen. Giving in was so much better.
Amen.
So my point, though, is before we come back to 1 John, If you're hearing things, please understand you're going to. And I'm not going to hold it back from you. I'm not being malicious with it. Not throwing the word of God at you. I'm trying to reach for you. Let Jesus reach you. Let him do what he wants to do with you. Amen? Let's love him one more time. Hallelujah. Oh, is there something inside of you tonight that says, God, I want to be what you want me to be? Will you let God touch your spirit? Praise God. Can you surrender everything you think you know about God and just let God be God in your life? We've come to the spirits of just men made perfect and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. This is all that we've come to. There's so much in this verse. This is what we've come to. This is who we are. The church is still in the world today. So we're Mount Zion. We're the city of the living God. We're the heavenly Jerusalem. This is what we've come to. We're citizens, Ephesians 2. We're citizens. We're fellow citizens. That's why that terminology is there. We're citizens of a heavenly. That's the whole point. It's not the natural Jerusalem. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. Some can't receive that because they're so intoxicated on other theologies, but I can't help that. We're just not following that. We want our spirit to stay just. We've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, and that speaks better things than that of Abel. So let me just say this one past, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Don't refuse him. All that, even if you understood nothing that I just said, understand it this simply. He wants to save you.
Amen.
And keep you saved. All he's saying is, when you've come to this thing, you've come to everything you need to stay converted and to live for God, to live your life, to be an overcomer, and to make it to glory.
Right.
We've got everything. We're not lacking anything. The church is not in trouble. It doesn't lack a single thing.
Amen.
Praise God. If you're believing that, it's because you're in trouble. The innumerable company of angels is not in trouble. The blood of sprinkling, not in trouble. Church of the firstborn, not in trouble. Mount Zion, not in trouble at all.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Those that do not want to live for God, they're in trouble. Those that want to kick their heels against the truth, they're in trouble. Those that don't want to allow their spirit to be one with God and to be right, they're in trouble. God's not in trouble. Amen. 1 John 4. I'll try to finish here. God's so good. I hope some of this is making sense to you. If I can just receive tonight, he wants me. He wants me to be saved. I think I can give up anything I think I know about him. I think so. I don't think I know as much as he does. Pastor was so patient. I remember times when I first started coming to church, I wanted to, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I could teach you guys some songs. I learned Catholic songs. You know? Such a patient preacher.
Yes.
Needless to say, I never shared those Catholic songs. You're welcome. Learn some new ones. Like, I'll fly away and let's have a little talk with Jesus. It's so funny. But, you know, there were things I had to let go as I was learning. I had to discover for myself and not fight against it. You know, you discover things along the way, like Mary was not the mother of God. She was not the Immaculate Virgin. She didn't stay a virgin. Her and Joseph had kids. The scriptures say they had kids. But some people don't want to believe that. I've got family. We've got family that will not believe that they had kids. That she was a virgin, she ascended, never sought death. Because it's some tradition. That's because of a tradition made in the 5th century. You know, that really made that doctrine, Mother of God. That's when it was invented, one of the councils there in the 5th century. But they were just refused, you know, because of traditions. Now look, I don't care how silly the tradition or whatever, if I come to the truth, if Jesus, if I come across this one, if he sits on my well and wants me to worship him in spirit and in truth, if I'm going to find what that spirit and truth worship and relationship is, I need to be willing to let go of everything I think I know. That woman forgot her little religious issue. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. By the time Jesus got done with her, she didn't care a thing about what her fathers used to do. She just bolted her way. She even forgot why she went there. She just bolted her way into town and said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it really doesn't matter what we think we know or what our little religious hiccup is. What we need to do is we need to find this Jesus. Amen? I need to let him influence me, because then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I've been, what I think I know. We just leave it for the excellency. Praise God. We leave it for that gift of God that he wants to give you. When you come to church, have it on your mind, he wants to give me something. Praise God. Praise God. He wants to give me something. There's a gift there. Praise God. What was on my mind when I was 14 years old, filled with the Holy Ghost, was, I can't wait to get to church. What's he going to do next? That was what was on our brain. What's going to happen? What's Pastor going to preach tonight? And we were on fire. We were excited about that word of God. We populated the front row. We made sure no one carnal was there. Kidding. This is what Jesus can do. Hallelujah. There are times in our lives when we have to go back to our own spirit and not believe it. Let me say that again. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Sometimes you may find yourself in a moment where you may be lying to yourself. You may be trying to hold on to something that you want to be right that isn't right. Like, we can name example after example after example. Something that you're calling God that isn't God, you want it to be God. And decide, I don't believe that. And try yourself. Forget about trying other individuals to see if their life or what they're saying, what they're trying to teach is right. Is that of God or not? Sometimes we have to just look in the mirror and say, is my thinking of God? Is the direction that I'm going of God? Is what I'm saying trying to make God God? Because if what you're thinking is rebellion and you're kicking against the word, remember, he's the word. If you're saying you're following God, he's the word. And if the word's instructing you and you're not receiving it and you're saying just the opposite, someone's not right. And I tell you who is right. And you may just have to eat some humble pie and say, you know what? I'm not right. My thinking's not right. My direction, I thought it was God, but, you know, I really wanted to, but it's not of God. So it's easy to talk about trying the spirits once you understand what it's saying, because back in their time frame, as we read already, that there were false prophets. What false prophet? Is it somebody saying, thus saith the Lord, and doesn't come to pass? No, he's talking about the spirit of a person that's claiming to be of God. They are the false prophets. False teachers, teaching things they shouldn't be teaching. And they were already experiencing this in the first century, and that was the point. He was teaching the people of God, and John very much getting involved with the churches in Asia and all the Gentiles that were freshly converted, having to teach them, because there was this bombardment of false doctrine and teachers and people trying to tear all of this great work of God apart. All that labor of Paul and all the other brethren doing something for God, and there was this constant bombardment. We've experienced it here. We see it. It tries to go from person to person. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have a good night. Lord bless you guys. I tried to wrap it up before you got called, but I was close. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. The Lord's good. Let's love him one more time together, shall we? I'm closing. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. He's so good. Let me try to get to something here. I've said enough about all of those things. Now, when it says to try the spirits, God's not asking you, he's not asking you or I to become judges. He didn't say, go around and judge people. You're of God, you're not of God. That's not what it's saying. God didn't call us to be judges of one another. Teach us not to judge. It's one thing to discern something, to try something, and to be judgmental. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses. Now, this is the point I like to make in closing here. It didn't say every mouth that confesses. It said every spirit. There's a difference. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now we know Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And we know why he came in the flesh. And what he's saying is, every spirit that is a new spirit, every spirit that worships God in spirit and in truth is of God. Every spirit that is a just spirit, a Mount Zion spirit, is of God. Every spirit that confesses, your life confesses, your conversation, your manner of life, that's what it's saying. Your spirit confesses that you are of God. You walk with God. You live for God. You follow God. You're led by God. And when stuff is going on that isn't of God, try to get a hold of yourself and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and get anything else out that's not of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. He's so good. See, some can talk about this. Let's go back to the point here at the beginning about what people believe. They can read Romans 10 and talk about, but I confess Jesus as my Savior. Okay, your mouth is, but is your spirit? You don't confess with your mouth and sin with your spirit. God can't preserve spirit, soul, and body if you don't have it. Let me say that again in English. God cannot preserve what he doesn't have in his hands to preserve. He said, I know my sheep and am known of mine. No man is able to pluck my sheep out of my hand. Nobody said? So we're either sheep or we're not. If we're not in his hands, then we're not a sheep yet. Right. Romans 8 and 9 testifies, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, I'd hate to read that verse as slander towards those that don't have it and make them feel like you don't have it. That's not why we read that. If you hear that and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost yet, then hear it the way you're hearing it. But please understand, it's because God wants you to hunger and thirst after him and be filled with his spirit. So that your spirit can be of God. If you're sinning, you're sinning and sinning and sinning. The scripture teaches he that commits sin is of the devil. You can't be of the devil and of God. I've met a lot of people who confessed with their mouth, Jesus is Savior, but they can cuss better than a sailor. They know all the filthy jokes. They can still get sloshed and go to church on Sunday. They can watch anything that they want to watch. There are no restrictions. There are no guidelines. There are no boundaries. There's no righteousness, no presence of holiness, no concept of true righteousness and holiness. Because their spirit is not right. It's not, their spirit is not confessing Jesus Christ. And you can't confess Jesus if he's not in your spirit. Hallelujah. Just like God can preserve what he doesn't have, you can't confess what you don't have. But what you do have, you will confess. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But I don't say these things to condemn anybody. It's for revelation and understanding so that we'll stop quarreling and we'll start yielding. Let me say it to you like this. It'd be better for you if you hear instruction coming from the pulpit to obey God and obey His word instead of fight it because it doesn't meet your... And that can be on any subject, anywhere. If there's advice or if there's counsel that comes from the pulpit, if the pastor doesn't decide to say something personally, or even if it's one-on-one, says it from the pulpit to throw it out there for you to grab it like a fish. If you fight against that, decide, nah, as I said earlier, you need to check your spirit. Don't be an antichrist. Make sure your spirit's confessing God and not confessing some other craziness. Confess God. Confess God. Confess that Jesus has washed you. Confess that He has bought you. Confess that you are purchased. Confess that you are cleansed. Confess that you are justified. Confess that you are washed. Confess that you are sanctified. Confess that He is one with me. Praise the Lord. There's a reason why we say yes to some things and no to others is because I'm confessing Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and He's come in my flesh too. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Let's stand. I think I'll just stop there. There's a lot to chew on. I'm not trying to be complicated here tonight. I meant what I said at the beginning, and I felt like I needed to start with that. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to take you all the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. So try to understand something. Here's the thing. Some people love debating, and they love debating against people religiously. Just prove that they're right. That's so stupid. I hate that. I hate debating. I hate contention, hate strife. If you're that type of person, you gotta have the last say, you're an idiot, and you need to pray through. Shut your mouth and serve God and eat some humble pie. I read in Proverbs that when humility comes, it brings honor. Hallelujah. You don't have to be right all the time. Let Jesus be right. After all, He's the one who saves us, not we ourselves. Hallelujah, isn't that right? It's He that has saved. He just wants to save you. Praise God. I better stop now. Hallelujah. A little rough. Don't fight Him. I just come to tell you, get your spirit right. Get your spirit right. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying if your spirit's not right, Jesus is saying, get your spirit right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter what, let Jesus pick apart your doctrines that you believed and have been taught all of your life. I'm sorry, what some of the things the Baptists say are not right. I love every one of them dearly, but they taught some things wrong. You can be lost. You can confess Jesus with your lips all day long, but Jesus said there are some people that draw near with their lips, but their heart is far from me. If He doesn't have your heart, He doesn't have you, even if your lips say He does. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Go ahead. Call upon Him. He loves you. Oh, Lord, we love you, Jesus. God, we love you, Jesus. Oh, God, renew all of us here tonight. Let our spirit, God, be new and sanctified and pure and holy. Praise God. Praise God. That there be no malice or guile found in us. Praise God. Hallelujah. That all in this house will be filled with the Holy Ghost and one with God and serving you and worshiping you and able to worship in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm finishing. I know we're tired. I say we because I work too. I don't sit on my Rumpelstiltskin all day and just look for the pulpit. Listen to John 4:24. It is not just a one God scripture. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We can't worship him, and our flesh goes along for the ride, but we can't worship him with the works of the flesh still alive in us. We must. That's why the scripture says you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. The reason why through repentance and remission of sins the old man is crucified is so that we can worship God. We cannot worship God if we live continually in sin. It's impossible. I don't care how many concerts they give. I don't care how many hands are in the air, and I love all the sincerity of it all. But as long as they remain in their trespasses and sin, they're not worshiping the way God wants them to worship, and they have never yet tasted of true heavenly worship. Amen. The only way you can taste that is to be free from sin, and whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And until your spirit confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh, you'll never know what it's like to really worship in spirit and in truth, to worship with a new Holy Spirit, a righteous spirit, a pure spirit. And that is why, this is why, when we hear even some of the gospel music and those worshiping in their respective places, and I'm not casting anybody down, I'm not judging anybody, I'm saying this is why we feel something's not right. I'm saying we, because we have come out of darkness into his marvelous light. And there's people who are trying to worship God, but there's darkness upon the face of the deep. And the worship is shallow. And in many corners, the music is also shallow. It doesn't possess the substance and the evidence it could. It's more entertainment than it is spirit. Because people who are singing it, who are writing the lyrics, and they're trying, and I'm not casting anybody down, but their spirit is not perfect. And yet their doctrines out there teach that it could never be perfect. And that is not of God. God's not taking imperfect spirits to glory. Oh, so much to say. So much to say. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a difference when you hear the saints singing and you hear those wanting to be saints singing. It's kind of like eating, a brand name box of pizza and then getting, great value. The Walmart brand. Sorry, Sister Lynn. No. But you understand what I mean. There's a difference there's a difference when it's brick oven and it's fresh, and there's just that recipe, and then the wannabes, where you feel like you're eating cardboard with a little cheese and sauce on it. You know what I'm saying? You get what I mean? That's the way it is, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm just saying we must, there's not an option. He said, you must be born again. And none of us can be born again the way we want to be. It's got to be the way God wants to be. Amen? Amen. All right, I'll stop. Let's love him. God, get this in our spirit for 2024. God, help us to all be settled, rooted, and grounded in all of our attention from those of us that, God, have been around a while on the new ones, and help them get rooted and grounded and established, and help us reach somebody in 2024, even if it causes a lot of tumult. Let us do it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for being here. Praise God. Hallelujah.